Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
Standing strong, how God has given us everything that we need for the spiritual battle that we're in. And we have taken a number of weeks to talk about this passage of scripture found in Ephesians chapter 6. And so far we've talked about how the battle is real and how God has given us the armor that we need to be able to stand our ground in spiritual battle. And that victory is ours if we will use what God has given us. And so we are been looking at this. We've looked at the belt of truth, how truth is so important. And as we put the belt of truth on, it holds everything together. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness that we put on, the righteousness of Christ in our life as we have right acts in our life and how that protects our heart and that protects those important organs. We also last week talked about the shoes of the gospel, how our feet are fitted with the gospel, the readiness that comes from the gospel, and how the gospel becomes our firm foundation to which we stand. And so this morning we're talking about the shield of faith. Now, if there's a cool piece of the armor that we have, it would be the shield. I think it was probably Captain America that made shields so cool, because he can do a lot of fun things with his shield. But that shield to protect us from that battle that is coming our direction. And so this morning we're talking about the shield of faith. So if you would, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be reading from that spot. And Bailey, it's kind of ringing a little bit. If I don't know if there's a way that you can adjust it or turn it down or something, that would be awesome. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. And if you have found your place there in God's Word, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Starting at verse 10, God's Word says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of darkness of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." And then this morning, listen to verse 16. "And in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be in your house, gathered around your word, singing your praises. So, Father, would you speak to our hearts today? Could you change our hearts so that we can leave this place changed because we've experienced you through your word? Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The battle is real. Our enemy has been defeated, and victory is ours if we will use what God has given us. Like we've talked about these other pieces of armor that we have, it's no good to hold the belt of truth in our hands or leave it at the house. It's only when we put it around our waist and we cinch it in and we apply it to our life does it take activity, does it work in our life. The same with the breastplate of righteousness or the shoes of the gospel. All of those things must be applied and must be used in our life. And this is the same. We're talking about the shield of faith. Number one there on your message notes is every believer is in a spiritual battle against a defeated enemy. The enemy that we fight has been defeated, and this has come out in our study on Sunday nights. We've been studying on Sunday nights, chapter by chapter, through the book of Revelation, and it has been a pretty wild ride because there is some crazy stuff in the book of Revelation. But listen to these verses as it talks about our defeated foe found in Revelation 19 and 20. Listen to these verses. It says, and this is John speaking in the book of Revelation, "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army." This is after Jesus has reappeared riding on this white horse. "But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped the image." And listen to this, "The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur." And then that talks about the beast and the false prophet. Listen to what Revelation chapter 20 has to say about the future of our enemy, Satan. Chapter 20, verse 1 says, "And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended." And then, in verse 10, it talks about what happens to the beast in verse 10 after those 1,000 years. "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever." This is the defeated foe that wages war against us. And it's important for us to understand that the war has already been won by our Savior, Jesus. And we fight not for victory, but we fight from a position from victory. We are on the right side and we win. And so it's up to us to now stand our ground during these days until that moment happens, that we have to stand our ground and not allow Satan to take back any of the progress that has been made in our behalf. So we stand our ground. And that's what this passage here in Ephesians chapter 6 is all about. And so we have a defeated enemy that's clear. I mean, we know the end of the story. We can turn to the back of the book and we can see that he is a defeated foe. But I also want you to notice, and this is number 2 on your message notes, that Satan launches an all-out offensive against you and the work that God is doing in your life. You see, he's got strategies, he's got schemes against you, and he's launching out against you. He is not for you, he's against you, and he's using every strategy, everything at his disposal against you and what God is doing in your life. And we need to understand that he is not playing around. He is not dealing with us in a fun way or just teasing us or something. He's trying to destroy us and destroy the work that God is doing in our life. It kind of reminds me of encountering some kind of animal out in the wild, that if it's a wild animal and you mess with it, you could get bit, or it could be bad. I'm thinking about like a squirrel. It's dangerous to pick up a squirrel or to mess with a squirrel. I've heard of, y'all, is that funny? A squirrel? Or I'm distracted by thinking about it. That squirrel. It's dangerous. You know, and when you're deer hunting, even, that deer is probably the most dangerous to the hunter when it's down and you're approaching that deer, right? Because it's a down foe kind of thing. And so Satan is not just messing with us. He's not just toying around with us or joking around with us. He's trying to take us out. And it's important for us to understand the intensity of the battle, of the war that he wages against us. And he is launching in this passage these fiery arrows And those are not meant to just discourage us. Those are meant to take us out, to cause the most harm. Not that an arrow launched at someone wouldn't cause enough harm. This is an arrow that would have been dipped in pitch and lit on fire and then shot at the soldier. And this is what Satan just doesn't want to cause a little bit of damage in our life. He wants to take us out. And for us to take the battle that we're in seriously, we need to understand that Satan is playing for keeps, that he's launching this all-out offensive against us, using these fiery darts to cause the most damage in our life. And if he can, he will take us out if we don't use the armor and the protection that God has given us. So the question then becomes, what are these fiery darts? What are some examples of these fiery darts? And these darts could represent fear in our life, fear of a situation, maybe a medical situation, maybe fear of a financial situation, whatever fear creeps up in our life. It could be doubt, wondering if God loves us, wondering if God really said that, or not, like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. It could be just words that come into our mind at the most inopportune time. Listen, if you ever have been in a state of intense prayer with God and then have this thought come across your mind that's just uncharacteristic and just completely derailing the spiritual work that you're doing, that is a fiery dart that's fired at us. Maybe it is a confusion about something. Maybe it's a temptation. It's that besetting sin in our life that Satan tempts us because he knows he's got a foothold there. Maybe it's a lie that he's telling us about ourselves or other people. You know, if you want to get a good idea of Satan and his strategies in our life, you can go back to Genesis chapter 3 and see what he said to Adam and Eve when he said to Eve, did God really say you couldn't eat of that fruit? Is that really? And then he said, you surely will not die. He deceives Eve, and then she partakes of that forbidden fruit. Or you can look in Matthew chapter 4 of the temptation of Christ, where even Jesus was tempted in every way like we were, but he used scripture to combat that temptation, and he was perfectly faultless in how he dealt with that temptation. But that is how Satan approaches us. He's looking to take us out, and he is tempting us, and he's shooting these fiery darts at us. And the idea of these fiery darts and using archery in battle, if you can take someone out at a distance from you that you don't have to engage in hand-to-hand combat with, that is better. I mean, the archer is certainly valuable in battle to take out that enemy before they even get close, and that's what Satan wants to do with us. He wants to take us out, and he's dipped those fiery darts, those fiery arrows in pitch and lit them on fire so that when they find a place in our life, it sets us on fire and it destroys the work that God is doing in our life. And the truth is that Satan's arrows are landing in some of our lives, that we're not holding up the shield of faith, we're not applying righteousness to the breastplate of righteousness, or putting on the belt of truth, or allowing our salvation, the gospel, to be our foundation. And those fiery darts are hitting us, and they're lighting on fire our lives and what God wants to do in our life and destroying the work of God in our life. It's for us to take up the shield of faith to protect ourselves. And that leads us to number 3 there in the message notes. The first line of defense from spiritual attack is the shield of faith. The first line of defense is that shield of faith. And so a Roman shield was not like the Captain America shield that was round. It only covered like the torso area that you would throw like a frisbee at somebody. That's not the Roman shield at all. It was a heavy wooden shield that was draped with leather or cloth. And it was thick enough that an arrow would not go through it. And sometimes it was even covered in cloth and dipped in water for those fiery darts, so that when that fiery dart with the pitch on it that was on fire would hit that shield, it would extinguish it. And so it was 2 feet wide and 4 foot high. And some people describe it like a door. And it's, for someone my size, something that's 2x4 is not really a door, but it's certainly a large thing that you would use in battle. And I just imagine it being strapped to the soldier's arm and him holding that up in battle. And that becomes the first line of defense as the battle is coming to you, as these darts are flying through the air, as these arrows are flying through the air. You've got protection to protect yourself from this. And that was the Roman soldier's shield. And so what Paul does is he uses that illustration. He knew that the reader, he knew that we would be able to figure out what a shield in battle would look like. And so this was something that was the first line of defense. This was before the person would even get close to you to strike a blow with a battle axe or a sword or anything. This was something that we could hold up. It's our first line of defense. In the same way it's the first line of defense in a soldier's life, it would be our first line of defense, our faith, that we can hold up this shield of faith. And so, and it's described, the shield of faith, and that brings the question of what type of faith are we talking about? And what Paul is talking about here is not saving faith, because saving faith is how you get the shield. Saving faith is how you get the other armor pieces. That once a believer, once a person understands their sin and trusts Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that's how you get equipped, that's how you get access to the armor. So it's not saving faith. Our battle starts with saving faith, but it's not saving faith. It's also not just believing facts about Jesus and understanding the historical Jesus or having a mental assent. It's not that kind of faith either, and it's certainly not faith in yourself. Because if anything, this passage of Scripture is saying, don't rely on your faith. It's not about you and your strength. It's about what's been provided for you. So the type of faith that's being described here is a practical, everyday, live-it-out kind of faith. This is the kind of faith that you use every day, that you exercise as you encounter everything that comes at you during the day. That you can place your faith, you can use that as you're living your life, that you have that shield of faith, and as Satan's trying to injure you and take you out, you've got that shield of faith, and it's something that you carry with you all the time. And so, this shield of faith is not something that you just take up during battle like the Roman soldier would. This shield of faith is what you use in your life, that you're trusting in what Christ did for you, and you're applying that to the situations in your life. Listen, that's hugely important. That we don't get suited up for spiritual battle because we're going on the mission trip or we're going to something. This is something that we use every day. This is what God's provided for us, because Satan's attacks on us are not relenting. I mean, he is after us to take us out. And so we take up these pieces of armor day in and day out because they protect us from this attack. And again, the shield of faith is our first line of defense. It was this big shield, and it would keep us safe. You know, the shield of faith protects some things. It protects the soldier. That's why you're holding the shield out there, so it's protecting the soldier as he's being attacked. It also, and think about this, it also protects the other pieces of armor that's behind it, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the gospel shoes. It's protecting that, and it's also protecting other soldiers. It's also protecting other people that you're in battle with. There was something cool that a Roman shield, this 4x2 large shield would do, and some of you have seen this on movies or know this about Roman history, is these shields had hooks on them, and they could lock together. And so as these shields were locked together, they would have a line of soldiers with these shields locked together, and they could advance forward, pushing the enemy out of the way because their shields were locked forward. And so get the mental image of that your shield wasn't just for you, it's protecting the person on your right or on your left or behind you. Listen, that is a beautiful picture of the church and how our relationships one with another should be. We should have each other's backs. We should be seeking to protect and help those around us as they do spiritual battle, like we're doing spiritual battle. That we're in this together, and as we join our arm and shields together, that we are advancing the kingdom together. That's just a beautiful picture of of faith and of church, of the family of God, being side by side with fellow believers in Christ, advancing the cause of Christ. It is our first line of defense. The shield unites us with other believers as we also protect ourselves. I want you to notice something else there in your message notes, number 4. Through faith in Christ, we have a shield that protects us in battle. And I've already mentioned this type of faith. It's faith in Christ. It's not that salvation. It's faith in Christ that he's going to see us through each day. It's not just believing facts about Jesus, and it's not faith in ourselves. It's faith in Christ that we rely on as these spiritual attacks come our way. It is specifically in Christ. It's in his person. Listen, we trust and we protect ourselves with who Jesus is, the gospel. It's his life. It's his strength, not our own. It's his righteousness, not our own applied to our life. It's in him that we find strength. You know, faith is only as good as its object, right? Faith is only as good as what you're placing your faith in. And when we say to Jesus, we're placing our faith in you, Jesus, our faith is that good. It's good in the Son of God, who defeated death, hell, and the grave on our behalf. And so our faith, when we place it in Jesus, is in the right place, and it gives us strength so that we can stand against the adversary of our life. And those fiery darts that are firing at us constantly, we can stand our ground. And we can even lock arms with each other, and we can advance the kingdom. It's a beautiful thing. Faith in Christ, not ourselves. Faith is only as good as its object. And this is the armor from God that he gives us. Earlier in this passage, in verse 10, it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord." And listen to this phrase, in his mighty power. And so this message, these messages about the armor of God, is not the things that we can do to be self-sufficient and not have to rely on God in spiritual battle. This is a message series about, in this passage, is about how we've been provided everything that we need for spiritual battle if we will take them up and if we'll apply them to our lives. And so it's completely different. This is not being self-sufficient or not thinking, you know, just try a little harder and you'll be okay. What it is take up and use what God has given us in Christ. And we're protected by the shield of faith because it is not faith in ourselves. It is faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we come down to the end of the message, and I have a question for you. And this question will also be on the screen. What area of your life is on fire from spiritual attack that needs faith to gain victory? What area of your life right now, as you sit right here in this room, what area of your life is on fire because you've been struck with one of Satan's arrows and it's starting to tear you up and it's lighting an area of your life on fire? Listen, the solution is not anything that you do for yourself. The solution is the shield of faith. Is that faith in Christ can extinguish those darts even if they've already landed and found their place. And so this is what you do. If there's an area of your life that you have thought of as I've asked that question, as you do that, you give it to Christ. You turn it over to him. That's what faith is. It's trusting someone else. It's trusting Jesus. And so in the moments that we spend here, just in a moment, as we have our invitation time, you can give that area of your life, that concern, that issue in your life, that temptation, that bad habit, you can give that over to God and you trust him to take care of it, not yourself. I mean, haven't you been trying to take care of it yourself too long? I mean, wouldn't it have already been taken care of if you could do it in your own strength? You see, the thing is, we have access to the shield of faith. We have access to the Son of God to take care of those places in our life that are on fire, that are causing destruction in our life. And so what's missing is faith. What's missing is faith in turning that area of your life over to Him. Listen, it's up to you. No one can do this for you. No one can apply this faith in their life to an area of your life. It's individual. It's up to you, just like all of these armor pieces, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel shoes, all of those, it's up to you to apply. You can't wait for someone else to do that for you. Certainly you can have other people praying for you, but you have to apply faith to these areas that are on fire from spiritual attack in your life if you'll ever have a victory. And so my question is, what are you waiting for? The victory is theirs for you to have because of what God has already done for you. The victory is that step away of placing your faith in Jesus and giving it to Him, and He will gladly take it, and He will give you victory over the areas of your life where you are currently being defeated. And so we're going to stand. Myron's going to come and play. And we're just going to spend some time dealing with what God has said to us this morning. We're going to spend some time just allowing what God is saying to simmer in our life, to percolate in our life. And so if everyone would please stand, we're going to have a time, if you'd like to join our church or have another spiritual decision. We have a couple that's joining our church this morning, and I'm so excited to introduce to you. They're going to come up here, and this will be a time that you can spend some time at the altar, that you can spend some time in prayer. But we're not going to rush through this time. We've got time this morning to do business with God. God is working with us. God is leading us. And so let's give this time to God, and let's do spiritual business. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us, and we thank You for what You're doing in our life. And Father, we thank You for the shield of faith that extinguishes those fiery arrows. And Father, all across this room, I pray that fires that are in people's lives will be put out because of their faith in Jesus. So Father, we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray.